Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with you, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Doing great, Chad.
Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Also with us, as always, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today?
I am blessed more than I'm deserved.
Amen, amen. And guys, we are so excited to welcome you back to Typology Tuesday. We love getting into it, into the Word here, especially when it comes to us trying to do it in consecutive order, you know, somewhat Lucan, but we kind of go back and forth more in a John way as well. But we are excited to get back to the days of creation and how they point to Christ. So, Joe, I think I'm just going to read to start it, all right? Before I get into it, this specific episode regarding Typology Tuesday, I just wanted to remind you to please keep us in prayer. We do have the radio network getting ready to launch. We can't wait for you guys to download that app. Have 24/7 radio no matter where you are. And guys, we have listeners from everywhere. I mean, I say that, but I'm dead serious. We get emails, we get messages. I'm in Bangladesh, right? I'm in South Africa. I'm in Australia, okay, all over the place, and we're so blessed. And don't forget, we are always loving to see what you guys have to say and that you are encouraged, okay? So make sure you guys, if you haven't yet, please go subscribe to the new YouTube channel that this is on. If you are listening by podcast, either by Podbean or iTunes or, I don't know, Google Play, anything where podcasts are found, please also go over to YouTube and subscribe, not only to Good Fight Ministries, but youtube.com/The Good Fight Radio Show. So with that, we are going to get back to the days of creation. And Joe's going to be talking a little bit about how Jesus is found in the days of creation.
And if you're a believer, you're there too.
Amen, amen. So we're going to read the first three verses of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Verse 3, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. So, Joe, what are we doing here?
Well, we're looking at the first part of the first day of creation, and it's a blow mind because Jesus is there. You already see some of him. You've got the Word being spoken. He's the Word of God who is made flesh. You have the light breaking forth. He is the light of the world. Amen. We have the Spirit of God there, and we'll be talking about him as well. The second person is Jesus of the triune God. Holy Spirit's the third person of the triune Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have had a few messages, two or three, I suppose, already on this, where we looked at the whole triune Godhead in Genesis chapter 1. Now we're getting into the, you know, verse by verse through Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to see that each day of creation, this is why it just blows me away over and over again, that every day in the days of creation is a picture of not only what God did historically in creating the earth, I do believe it's quite literal, but also a picture of what he desires to do and is doing in you and me. Each day is a picture of what he's done in our own personal salvation history and the salvation history of the church. And God is so powerful, created the entire universe, and he created it in such a way to show forth his prophetic divine plan of salvation. I believe I've already proven that in one of the past messages when we're looking at the creation days, when we looked at the temple itself. And how the temple itself, the way God designed it to show forth sacrifice and to point to Jesus, and the veil that would be torn is a picture of Jesus' flesh that would be torn on the cross. And that veil being torn would open up the way into the innermost part of the temple, the Holy of Holies, the holiest place. Well, guess what? Opening up the temple in heaven, it took Christ's flesh. It took him being torn on the cross so that we can have access to the Father in heaven. And guess what? That temple was made in the image, to a degree, says in the book of Hebrews, according to the construction of what had happened in the temple in heaven. So I pointed out, when God created the heavens and the earth, He made things. We saw it right there. The way he made heaven and the way he had them make the temple was in such a way to foreshadow what would happen in Jesus in salvation. So I think I slam dunk that with biblical evidence that in the way God's made the heavens and the earth, at least in one way, in some of the things he's orchestrated, he's created, were to point to the gospel, because before the foundations of the world, God had planned on sending his son to die for us. And I don't want to, you know, go through everything I went through in those past messages, but I want us to look at the first few verses. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. And the earth was formless and void. In the Hebrew, it's tohu wabohu. Those are actually kind of fun words to say, even though they're kind of descriptive of something that was quite sad at first. But God had a plan. Tohu wabohu, formless and void, without form and empty. And we're going to spend a few weeks just on the first day of creation because it is mind-blowing. And you're going to get into enough of it today to see, wow, this actually makes a lot of sense. Because what I believe, now some people look at that and they say, wow, it says it's tohu wabohu. Well, that language is used later of God's judgment when he brings destruction. So maybe what God did was destroyed a previous existing earth and a previously existing civilization. And there was another race of beings and animals and so forth that God judged. And then therefore you have, this is called the gap theory. A lot of people believe there's a gap between the first couple verses there in that God created the heavens and the earth. And then there's a gap because it was a civilization and people and animals and so forth. And then God judged them, or at least animals and demonic entities, and then God judged them harshly, and then he recreates out of existing matter that was involved in the very first creation. I don't personally believe in a gap theory. I do believe that there's a picture of judgment there, but it's not a judgment that's already happened. It's a picture of, as I've used the term over and over again, you've heard me use the phrase, the prophetic artistic production, that when God created the heavens and the earth, the reason he created it formless and void is because it's a prophetic, artistic production. A prophetic, meaning it points to something in the future. Artistic production. It's very artistic what God's doing. It's a production that he's specifically creating to prophetically show what would happen to us, the human race, after having been judged because of breaking his moral law in the future after the creation event, and how he would recreate us in Jesus, when the light of Christ and the Spirit of God would come into our lives. So what he's doing in creating the heavens and the earth, formless and void, he's drawing a picture. He's using this very dark, gloomy canvas. That's a picture of you and me before we come to Christ. We were formless. We had no real purpose in our lives. We were meandering. We were going with the flow. We were children of disobedience, guided by the prince of the power of the air. Just going by the ebb and flow of the demonic spirit world and the fads and the fashions and the darkness and the evil of this world. We were not only formless, but we were void. We were empty. We were tohu, but we were also bohu. We were empty. We were without Christ, without hope in this world. We had everything we chased, was vanity of vanities, as Solomon says. We're chasing bubbles. We'd get the bubble, it would pop, and we remained empty. Well, this prophetic artistic production is a picture of you and me before we were saved. And that's why I believe God created it this way. If he just said it was tohu wabohu and that stopped right there, I wouldn't jump to any conclusion. I said, oh, that's interesting. But the fact that he uses this language later in the language of judgment, and that he shows that he reverses this through bringing forth creation, not only in the creation narrative here, but later on in the life of the believer, and he uses the same language, and he uses his Genesis chapter 1 as a picture of what God, Paul does, as a picture of what God does in our life when we were tohu wabohu and bringing forth new life to us. It shows me, wow, not only in the temple and in the heavenly creation, in God's heaven, where the temple is made and patterned after what's going on in heaven to show forth God's creation plan, but also in the creation of the earth itself and the days of creation, day after day after day, in those days of creation, is a picture not only of our initial salvation experience, but also a picture of our sanctification and our glorification in Christ. And so I'm really excited about this series, going deep with you in the scripture. And let's get into it. Why would we say that tohu wabohu is a picture of judgment? Now, keep in mind, there are many, many Christians that do believe that God created the heavens and the earth, and the next part, it was formless and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, that was a judgment that took place already over pre-existing entities. And then he brought death into the world. I don't believe that for a number of reasons. Now, some say, well, in between you know, the tohu wabohu, darkness over the face of the deep, and then him bringing forth the light is, you know, millions and millions of years. You know, the Bible's not, I do believe in literal creation days, because it's evening and then it's morning the first day and so forth. So whatever the creation days kick off, I believe they're literal days, quite literal. When things were transformed from tohu wabohu in that to the first day of creation, I don't know how much time elapsed. And I just leave that before God. I do know this, though, is that it's not the judgment of a prior existing civilization. How do I know that? Because the Bible is very clear that the death that we see in the ancient history that we dig up came into the world because of sin. There was no death before sin came into the world. And it's through God's judgment on Adam that death came into the world. So I don't believe there was death in the world. There was a previous creation that's being judged. I simply believe that this is God's canvas. This is what he's beginning with. He's drawing a picture for us of an earth that's just lifeless, without form, that's dead, that needs his intervention, which was us before Jesus. Now, it is a picture of judgment. And that's why some people get confused. They'll read in Jeremiah, they'll read Isaiah, where the terms tohu wabohu are used again. And when those two words, tohu and wa and bohu, are you tohu wa and bohu, tohu and bohu are used together, it's only two other times in Scripture. You know, you'll see one of those words, you know, more often, but when you see both words together, you only find them taking place two other times, once in Jeremiah and once in Isaiah. Both the times you see them later on in Scripture, it's used of God bringing radical upheaval and judgment, and even bringing this picture of Genesis to life before our eyes. So some will see that, they'll say, yeah, well, see, it's judgment. When we see it later, it's judgment. It's a clear picture of what was going on in Genesis, you know, and it's a picture of judgment. So that must have been a judgment back then. I say, no, it's definitely judgment what happens in the future, tohu wabohu. But it doesn't mean there was a pre-existing creation being judged. I believe it simply means that God started off in the days of creation showing forth the plan of salvation that would take place in us, and each and every day being a picture of what Christ would do in us. And he starts with the first day with us being under the context of judgment in the future, which is where he found us. We were under the wrath of God. We were children of wrath. We were in the darkness. We were tohu, as I mentioned. We were bohu. We were formless. We were void. And it says, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And there was darkness that was over us. And I want to get a little deeper in looking at these judgment passages and then going into 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where it shows him coming into our lives, and then going deeper than I did the first time we went into this and really start looking at chapter 3 as well and seeing that there's an entire narrative. Because for me personally, as I was looking at 4:6 in 2 Corinthians, which we'll get to in a minute, I was saying, wow, it's so clear that he's using the creation narrative as a typology, a picture. Paul understands it to be a type, a picture of what God's doing in our lives. So then what I did, I thought, you know what? I want to chase down the surrounding verses in chapter 4 and in chapter 3 and chapter 5 and see if that narrative carries over, and I believe it does. I believe it's pretty heavy. Just like we did recently, if you were on our Sunday studies with Mephibosheth, teaching on Sundays I did. I hope you caught that study, because it'll be some of the most beautiful typology you'll see anywhere in Scripture. We go through Mephibosheth. We're doing a series right now called Sit, Walk, Stand. And we look at how we're seated in heavenly places and what that means. Now, Mephibosheth was under God's judgment, the judgment of David, so to speak, or he seemed to be. But David had mercy on him and brought him into the palace. Even though he was crippled, he was lame, and he fell. We were fallen. We were crippled. We were lame. Even though it was Lodabar, a place called nothingness, and that's where we were, you know. Same deal's going on there, guys. And he called him to his palace. And he forgave him, had mercy upon him, put him at his table. Every day he would eat regularly with David, and David restored his inheritance. Guess what? That's very similar to the picture we're seeing in Genesis. And guess what? We are Mephibosheth. So I encourage you to listen to those messages, but I go beyond being seated in heavenly places, and I see in Ephesians, Paul takes that picture of Mephibosheth and shows us our inheritance and all kinds of wonderful things that are beyond the pale of this particular study today. However, if you have a Bible out, or if you're just driving, just listen. But when you go to Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 23, we see these words, tohu wabohu, again. And they are a picture of judgment. Jeremiah writes, I beheld the earth, and indeed it was without form and void. Guess what that is in the Hebrew? Tohu wabohu. And the heavens, they had no light. Sound familiar, guys? I mean, that's exactly what we read in Genesis, you know? Beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and they were tohu wabohu, and darkness was over the face of the deep. So he writes, Jeremiah 4:23, he's not talking about creation, although he's pointing back to what it was, what it looked like back then. I beheld the earth, and indeed it was without form and void, tohu wabohu. And the heavens, they had no light. Okay, just like the original creation, darkness was over the face of the deep. Now the context of this passage in Jeremiah chapter 4 is one of divine judgment on the kingdom of Judah, and where God's going to bring in the Babylonians, and he's going to bring them into diaspora, and their land is going to be absolutely devastated and wiped out and formless and void. And many of the remnants of that land, Mark Twain wrote about many years later, not just after that diaspora, but then Mark Twain came long after the next diaspora at 70 AD and what have you, but it was a compounded judgment that came later as well. So we see this fascinating passage here of divine judgment. It's interesting because we see God's basically, that there's this like the trumpet, like a judgment, you know, of Israel that sounded. Verse 20 in that chapter says, disaster on disaster is proclaimed, for the whole land is devastated. So the context, and I read 23 already. Now this is verse 20. Verse 20, verse 19 says, my soul, I am in anguish. Oh, my heart is pounding in me. I cannot be silent. Why? Why? Why can't he be silent? Because disaster upon disaster, the very next verse, is proclaimed, for the whole land is devastated. So tohu wabohu, with there being no light, is a picture of God's judgment on wickedness. My point is this, is Jeremiah is obviously pointing back to what creation looked like prior to the light coming in, prior to the Holy Spirit coming in, the Spirit hovering over the face of the deep, and God bringing the light and bringing creation. It's a picture of judgment. It's not a judgment of something that needed to be judged prior to. It's a picture of the judgment of Israel, God's people, who did not keep God's law. Now keep in mind what's going on here. It's a picture of God's judgment upon the wicked who refused to keep his law. So that tohu wabohu and darkness being over them in Genesis 1, draw a line to Jeremiah, and that was a picture of the judgment that would happen to God's people for breaking his holy law. And when you go through the book of Jeremiah over and over again, why did they go into diaspora? You know, they didn't keep his Sabbaths, he says. They didn't keep, now we're not talking about the law of Christ that we're under, we're talking about the law of Moses that they were under. They had broken God's law, and therefore they were under divine judgment. They were under tohu wabohu. Thankfully, the story does not end with tohu wabohu and darkness being over the face of the deep, because God had a plan for his people Israel. Amen. So it's interesting because we have it describes the condition of Judah under this radical destruction that was brought about by God in judgment. And what was once a beautiful land, what was once Beulah land, the fruitful land, had become an utter wilderness in verse 26 of Jeremiah chapter 4. It's quite amazing when you look at this. It dwells then afterwards in a state, when you read Jeremiah 4, a state of barrenness because of God's judgment. Well, guess what? The only other place you see tohu wabohu, besides Jeremiah chapter 4, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, is the book of Isaiah. I'm talking about tohu and bohu, both those words. Verse 11 of chapter 34, verse 11 in Isaiah. And Isaiah is prophesying about destruction that would come in the day of the Lord's vengeance against the Gentiles. So it's not just against the Jews and Judah with the Babylonians coming in Jeremiah 4, but in Isaiah chapter 34, it talks about the land being turned into a desolation. And it says in verse 11 of chapter 34 of Isaiah, he will stretch over it the line of desolation, tohu, and plumb the line of emptiness, bohu. So there it's translated desolation and emptiness, formless and void. Okay, same kind of deal. So how would the Hebrew reader look at this? The Hebrew reader, who was incredibly conversant with, you know, the creation being tohu wabohu in its early formative stages, which we call the prophetic pre-production, prophetic production state, they would draw a line and say, wow, this is what, especially in Jeremiah, where it says tohu wabohu, it says, and there was no light. They would say, wow, that's just like the creation before God brought life to it, before God said, let there be light, before the Spirit of God acted in the creation and so forth. In fact, one translation, Isaiah 34, 9 through 11, listen to what it says. Very interesting. The rivers of Edom will turn into tar, and the soil will turn into sulfur. Sounds kind of like Sodom and Gomorrah there, right? Mm-hmm. The whole country will burn like tar. It will burn day and night, and smoke will rise from it forever. The land will lie waste age after age, and no one will ever travel through it again. Owls and ravens will take over the land. The Lord will make it a barren waste as it was before the creation. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Now that's the Good News Bible, so it's more of a an expanded translation than an actual word for word translation. Now this is all fascinating. Why? Keep in mind, and I've reiterated a couple things a couple times just to make sure, in case you lost track of where we're at, just so everybody be with us, is we are looking at God's creation of the heavens and the earth as a picture of us, and we're seeing that it definitely was a picture of judgment. And that God in Jeremiah and in Isaiah used the same kind of language, tohu wabohu, and darkness as well in Jeremiah, as a picture of his wrath falling upon the wicked for not obeying his word and his moral law. Amen? Now, isn't this interesting? When you get to the New Testament and you look at us as individuals and as the church becoming new creations in Christ. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 3, 4, and 5, Paul uses his imagery to say, hey, guess what? What God did over there in creation when it was tohu wabohu, that's what he has done in you as a believer. It was a picture. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 5, 17, that's that famous verse. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, old things have passed away, and all things have become new. But before we became a new creation, before believers became a new creation, before Jews and Gentiles who came to Messiah became new creations, what were they like? They were lawbreakers. The Jews were the lawbreakers of the law of Moses, which had the moral law of God and had the civil law of God and had the ceremonial law of God. Gentile believers, if you're a Gentile believer, we were breakers of the moral law, which was written in our hearts through the conscience, it says in Romans 2. Well, back up a little bit and let's see what he says. A couple chapters before, he talks about us, anyone being in Christ, being a new creation, old things passing away and all things becoming new. And by the way, that's a great picture of Genesis 1. There was the old, and then there was the new. There was the previous look, tohu wabohu, and darkness, then there was the new. But if you go to 2 Corinthians 3, we read about how the Spirit of God brings life. And remember, the Spirit of God was what? Hovering over the face of the deep when that new creation came, amen? And then the light came. So I find it fascinating that before you get to chapter 4, well, you know what? Let's make sure, in case you weren't with us in previous messages, because we did a whole lot of typology. We left the days of creation for quite a few weeks there. Let's just go to 4:6 so you know for sure that I'm not just, you know, coming up with some strange doctrine. Look at 4:6 of 2 Corinthians. It says this, for God who said, light shall shine out of darkness. Where did God say that light would shine out of darkness? That's in Genesis chapter 1. When the earth was tohu wabohu, darkness was over the face of the deep, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, and the Lord said, let there be light, and there was light. He commanded, as one translation says, when God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. I think that's the New King James. Right here, the NASV, for God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So you have the light, you have the Word of God, Jesus, you know, and you have the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness is the one who's what? Shining our hearts to bring forth what? The next chapter, 5:17, a new creation. Tell me Paul isn't thinking of Genesis chapter 1 as a radical picture of our own salvation experience. It's right in front of us. But now back up a little bit and you'll see Jeremiah 4. You'll see Isaiah 34. You'll see that we're under judgment first because we're lawbreakers. We're all lawbreakers. Genesis chapter 4. Then when you get to, I'm sorry, not Genesis chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 3, back up a little bit. What do we see? Well, it says in verse 6, who also made us adequate as servants of a what? New covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter what? Kills. But the Spirit gives life. What happened to them in Jeremiah and Isaiah because of their disobedience to the letter? Their disobedience to the Mosaic Law. Judgment came upon them. They were tohu wabohu. They were in darkness. God brought judgment upon them. And the scripture goes on to talk about how it was a ministry, verse 7, but if the ministry of death in letters engraved on stones came with glory, so that the sons of Israel could not intently look at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face, fading as it was. How will the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? Now, right here, look at this, folks. Think about it. He's talking, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is more about the Spirit of God at work in the life of the believer than just about any chapter in Paul's letters. And Paul also talks about the light that's come into the believer's life in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and 4 in a very unique way. And he uses the creation narrative. Now, it gets really, really heavy because he talks about Moses having a veil over his face and them not being able to look intently at Moses' face. And how Moses, you know, Moses would go into the tent of meeting and he would meet with the Lord and he'd take the veil off and he'd come back and his face would shine, but that light was diminishing. And he talks about this being this really heavy picture. And he ties what's happened to us as new creations who were tohu wabohu, who were darkness, but God commanded the light to shine out of darkness and brought forth us as new creations. He uses Moses as a picture who was able to look at the Lord and he was transformed, and how we weren't able to look at the Lord because we were under judgment. But that was under the old covenant. But then the new covenant comes, and then the new covenant through Christ brings new life. And it gets way deeper, but we've gone from Genesis chapter 1, the first couple verses. We're just now moving into let there be light, and the Spirit of God hovering over the waters, and God's work in the believer, which gets way deeper in chapter 3 and 4 here as we move on. But I'm noticing I have about 2 minutes left, so I'm excited because I'm chomping at the bit. So next week what we'll do is we'll start to get into the work that Paul underscores here of the Spirit and God saying, let there be light, and Christ moving into our lives to where not just Moses' face shines, but now our faces shine because we get to experience the light of the Lord in the new covenant, because the light comes and brings form out of the formlessness, brings life into the emptiness, brings light into the darkness, brings the power of the Spirit into us spiritless people who were without the Spirit before Christ, and brings the gospel to us in the new covenant. So this is, I'm hoping you're with us, because I've covered a lot of ground, but we've got a lot more to cover. And you're, as this unfolds, you're going to say, wow, this is crazy. Each day is a picture of what God's doing to me. What a powerful, wonderful, amazing, incredible God we have. And you're going to want to bow down and worship him all the more, I hope. Because the more I look at this, the more I'm dumbfounded before God. God, you're amazing that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. You made us in your image. You knew we'd disobey you. You knew we'd become formless and void. You knew that we'd be filled with darkness. But in the gospel of Jesus Christ, which you planned from before the foundations of the world to send forth your son, you promised to bring the light of creation, the light of your son, I'm sorry, not creation, into your creation and bring new creations by the power of your Spirit. And as Father, we pray that as we continue to probe and dig and look at your word, we pray that we rejoice all the more that when we look at day and night and we see the days take place day after day to day, we'd see that you're doing a work. And these are all reminders of your great glory in what you're doing for your glory, and that we are the beneficiaries, for we are your workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works to glorify you now and forever. Lord, be with us and continue us to help us rejoice the typologies that point to your Son and his work in us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.